Good evening. I'm Kevin Baird with a KUAC News Minor update. A borough employee who went to measure ice at Chena Lake got firsthand evidence that the lake ice isn't ready for vehicles. The Fairbanks North Star Borough typically waits until 12 inches of clear ice is on the lake before putting out ice fishing huts at the borough park near North Pole, said John Haas, who is Fairbanks North Star Borough's parks superintendent. On Saturday, an employee not only saw that the ice wasn't thick enough, but also that a vehicle had been on the ice. Tire tracks going out of the boat launch area disappeared into a wet spot. Alaska State Troopers and Fort Wainwright Fire and Emergency Services went out to the lake Monday. A dive team explored under the ice about 250 feet offshore. There was a truck upside down on the bottom of the lake in about 25 feet of water. Nobody was in it. Troopers ran the license plate and learned the vehicle had been stolen about a week before. The door of the vehicle was open when the divers discovered it. The borough may have to wait until spring to remove the truck. After 40 years of fighting, Congress has voted to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil development. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports on the historic move, which was approved as part of a tax reform bill.
It's a stunning reversal of fortunes for environmentalists. They won so many times on the Arctic Refuge, sometimes they seemed invincible. To see how hard it used to be to convince Congress to allow drilling in the refuge, look at 2005. That year, the political climate seemed perfect for oil development. For the first time, average gas prices soared above $2 a gallon. America was importing more petroleum than ever, and U.S. troops were fighting in Iraq, a war many said was about oil. So the argument that America needed Anwar's oil, that had some pull. And yet...
This has been the saddest day of my life.
In December 2005, Alaska's then-Senator Ted Stevens was crushed. He didn't have the votes to keep Anwar in a defense spending bill. He had attached billions of dollars to the drilling measure to win votes. Stevens had that much sway over the federal budget, and it wasn't enough. When conservation groups won the 2005 round on the refuge, the Sierra Club's Melinda Pierce told a reporter that might be it. Game, set, match. Fast forward 12 years. Pierce says this year the refuge fight is overshadowed by other controversies, including the specifics of the tax changes.
The traditional grassroots power that we have always been able to mobilize really may not be able to break through that huge amount of money and lobbying interests that are happening.
And there are fewer members of Congress to direct that power to, fewer moderate Republicans. At League of Conservation Voters, Tiernan Sittenfeld says when she started working in Washington in 2000, the House had 30 or 40 Republicans who might vote with the Democrats on environmental issues.
A lot of those Republicans either were retired or they were defeated by Democrats in 2006 and 2008. Many of those Democrats were then defeated by Tea Party Republicans in 2010. So it is a more polarized time now for sure when it comes to environmental issues.
Retired lobbyist Roger Herrera doesn't know why Anwar is passing now and so quietly.
The frustrations over the last 20 or 30 years, political frustrations with trying to open the coastal plain have been pretty extreme on times.
Herrera worked to open the refuge for most of his career, first at BP, then as director of Arctic Power, an Anwar drilling lobby that was active for more than two decades. The state of Alaska spent about $12 million on Arctic Power over the years to fight for votes in Congress. The group has been dormant for a few years, but Anwar is passing anyway. Herrera wonders if environmental groups just quit trying so hard.
In a way, one doesn't mind how it happens.
Environmental groups insist they're giving it all they've got. Sittenfeld says League of Conservation Voters will work the hill to the last minute. Even if the bill is signed into law, she says they'll fight on, with lawsuits, pressure on oil companies, and maybe, she said, a new bill in Congress. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Housing areas with general use zoning, the most liberal zone in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, can change to a residential zone for free. That's been the case since July 1, 2016, when the Borough Assembly waived the $1,000 fee. Last week, the first neighborhood took advantage of it. an area off Badger Road made the switch from general use to rural residential zoning. 16 parcels covering about 17 acres on either side of Ben Schuf Drive were rezoned by the Borough Assembly from general use to the rural residential zone at the request of area landowners. The new zone offers the neighborhood protection from commercial and industrial land uses ill-suited to a residential atmosphere. What prompted the rezone was a marijuana cultivation facility that is planned in the neighborhood. Area residents fought the facility, saying it was a bad fit for their family-oriented housing area. For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or kuac.org. I'm Kevin Baird.